Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Are you allowing these foundations to hold you strong and fast with that torrent of tsunami that's coming through your life, my friend?
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Truths that are taught by the Lord at the very last hours of His life on this earth, I think, are very needful today in our day and age, as we're going to talk about soul tsunami. I'd like to use that as a picture and illustration of what really can and is happening in multiple people, in multiple families, in multiple lives, and really our own country today in a cultural sense, that there is a torrent, a killer wave that is just rolling its way through our own lives today. As I'm looking at a group of individuals, as was the disciples, that had no idea that within a 24-hour period, their whole world was going to be upside down. And Jesus, in that window of time, He being the only one that knew this is what's going to take place, began emphasizing themes and topics, really summarizing the last 3 years of teaching that He had, taking all of the scriptures that He had fulfilled as we have it in the scriptures, and put them into topics, and was saying to them, you need these. And He was saying, you better have a deep foundation in Me, or you will not end up surviving the tsunamis of life that blow through your own soul. And I would say to you, therefore, in your own life, where are you in the foundations of your own life? What are you going to hang on to? Maybe better yet, what are you hanging on to? When pressures come into your life, what is your anchor point? What is your foundation? So I'd like to emphasize for you what I believe to be 7 very critical foundations that if you're going to survive your world and the pressures of your own life, let me give you these 7. I'm not going to get to all of them, but I think these are important. I've said them before, and this is an ongoing part of a full series in the area of a faith-filled start, Life from the Scriptures. If you don't understand this, really, anything that comes along your little world is going to sway you. And therefore, I want to give you these 7. Number 1, very foundation to all of it, is the Lordship of Christ through the authority of Scripture. The Lordship of Christ. What do you mean by the Lord? The term itself basically means to be the boss, the controller. He tells you what to do. That has got to be a foundation of your life, that you step back and you see, you know what's going to get me through those difficult times? That the Lord is the one, that when my heart is troubled, that He is the way, the truth, the life. And that does start with a point of salvation. It starts with a relationship with Christ. Let me give you a second foundation. It's the faithfulness by walking in faith. God's not called us to be successful as the world measures success, but to be faithful. It's not a responsibility to promote ourselves or the outward visible growth of our life or ministry. And if we'll take care of the depth of our lives, God will take care of the breadth of our ministry. I think we've stated that before. It covers the area of giving my talents and our vocation, our tithes and our monies and our own time. It's expressed in the New Testament church, and you never find a single believer without being connected to a church, because that's where you show your faithfulness. I think C.S. Lewis said it right in his quoting in his Screwtape Letters. He says, does Satan instill in us a horror? Listen, does Satan instill in us a horror of, quote, the same old thing, along with an insatiable desire for novelty? But God balances our love of choice with our love of permanence. Unquote. You know what? Wise words, my friend. That's why Jesus was saying, listen, if you are going to end up standing for me in the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture, you will end up learning the value of faithfulness by walking in faith. It's not the ritual, but it's the routine. It's not coming to maintain my salvation at church, but to grow in a personal relationship. And I want to encourage you, my friend, if you are looking for anchor points of life, you're going to find them in the Lordship of Christ, the authority of Scripture, and your faithfulness. They're going to hold you through difficult times. You're created for conformity. Number two, you are formed for faith. And number three, the ministry of the Spirit through prayer is another anchor point. And that's why Jesus in John chapter 14, in the same conversation he had in private with his disciples and looking them in the eyeball and saying, you know, he said it this way in John 14, 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. He said it this way, just a chapter later in John 15. He said it in verse 26 again. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. What is he saying? He's saying there's the ministry of the Spirit, and it comes through prayer. So when you're in a place to say, God, if I'm going to have the ministry of the Spirit through prayer, then it is going to be a deep foundation for me that I can hang on to. And lastly, I want to close with this because we won't get to the rest. But can I finish with it? Because it ties together with number four, experiencing a servant's heart of love. He emphasized it this way in John 13, in the same conversation in private with his disciples. He said it in all of John 13, but particularly in verse 15, he was expressing, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He's talking about washing others' feet. In that economy, when they did not have Florsheim or Bostonians, but they were sandals. When you walk into someone's home, you needed your feet washed. And it was an insult if someone wasn't there most of the time, a doulos, the lowest servant, to come in, have a bowl of water. And when you sat down there in the foyer of those homes, they would wash your feet. And here they were in the upper room just before Passover, the largest feast of the Jewish tradition. And here Jesus, of all people, takes his robe, girds himself, and washes their feet. And they saw. This is what Jesus was talking about, a servant's heart of love. The point is, I want to be able to serve other people and make others a success, and there are multiple ways to do that. You think about the times you had the greatest conflict with someone. Let's put it into your work situation. Most of the time, it is a violation as a Christian from one of these four I just walked through. But you don't know this guy. He is like an idiot, and he is never going to change, man. He might not. Did God call you to change him, or did God call you to be changed by Christ? Maybe he's using him in your life as sandpaper on the rough edges of your life, because God knows he's not Lord of your life, or that you need to end up being a place to have a greater faithfulness to your authority. And I know you don't agree with them, but are you in a place to say, God, I'm faithful to you, Lord? The ministry of the Spirit of God. I got to start praying for him. It's greater reminders. When you have a negative thought against somebody, that's an opportunity for you to pray for them. And that's how you need to take it. God, you're prompting me to pray for them because it's a difficulty to pray and criticize at the same time. It just might be ultimately, you're supposed to express that servant's heart of love, because they would never darken the door of your church, whether this church or whatever other church, until they see the love of Christ through you. Question: are you allowing these foundations to hold you strong and fast with that torrent of tsunami that's coming through your life, my friend? Whether that is your own personal torrent, whether that is the whole culture, because I'm going to tell you something, the four that I just mentioned and the other three I'm going to tell you in expanding that are not being taught by our country, are not being taught by many, many churches today, are not being taught in the public media today. You're not going to hear it. You shouldn't be hearing it from a church like this. And if we're not going to say it, who's going to say it to you? Wait, are you going to open it up in the religious section of the paper, if it has one? Oh, you're going to end up going to the Life magazine? Oh, I think that's defunct now. Look magazine? Is that still in? That's not either. Oh, I know. Turn to Sports Illustrated, religious section. And you have all kinds of sections of all our great athletes and love Jesus, Lordship of Christ, authority of Scripture. Amen. Oh, maybe you're into arts and sciences. You're going to open up the science magazine. Maybe you're going to find this huge section about the greatest minds in the world that out of their intellect found out that Jesus is Lord. Really? And all I'm doing is the start of our year. I'm reinvesting and reinforming and restating these are important. You say, well, you know, when we know the end times are going to come, boy, that's when I'm really going to get things right with God. Really? It ain't going to happen, my friend. So I'm going to tell you something. If you aren't living where you need to live right now, I question when it's really going to happen. Because the events that come on life, you'll reinterpret them differently. I close. Let me come back to that Psalm illustration. I'll close with this because we had one student that I talked with. As I had heard, she was over there. She was at Phuket City, her family. Christmas Day. Had a great day. At that very resort where the video was being taken of this initial tsunami hit. I said, tell me what happened. I want to hear first-hand account. She said, Pastor, we were in the motel. And she said, water like started coming. It kind of went back, and then it kind of started coming, and it kind of like kept rising. And people were kind of like, well, you know, it's just, you know, big wave, that's all. And then she said, like, kept coming, and it kind of started coming into our room. And she said, my dad got a text on his phone, said earthquake 8.9 off the coast. He said, my mother said, we got to get out of here now. She said, just get the important stuff, get the documents. And they left most of their stuff, grabbed their stuff, and started running. Went down the steps, started running away from the shoreline. Said other people started running. There's some people that were just there, they wouldn't do anything. They knew something was not right, but didn't know what was going on. She said, it just like kept coming. I said, well, how about? She said, it just kept coming. It got stronger, and it got larger, and it got higher. She said, we kept running. We've got a taxi. We finally got a taxi. We got to the airport. We got out of that whole region, got back to Bangkok, and then back to Manila. He said, I'm so thankful that happened. I said, I'm thankful for your family. I'm thankful for your mother who stood up and said something right away. And her dad, hey, we got to get out of here, man. Now, our hearts should go out for people. And I don't say this lightly, my friend. But I'm just saying this illustration that it's no different than one of these days. We have events that are just slowly creeping up on us as well. It's not getting any better, my friend. It is only getting worse. It is only getting higher. It is only getting wetter spiritually. And if you don't have foundations in your life, Christian, you aren't going to make it. You aren't going to make it. And I would question today in your own heart and life, where are you in these areas? You might need to go back and evaluate and say, God, you know what? There are certain areas I've let slip up. I need to pull things back together. Maybe it's in your own home, in areas you just let go. And well, you know, it's no big deal. And it might be a big deal. Hey, it might end up being in areas of your own life, in your own thinking that you just kind of loosened up. Well, yeah, it's, you know, maybe there is, you know, something else out there that's really just as equal to what the gospel is. Whoa, man. Maybe you've not been as selective in your reading. Maybe you've not been selective in what you're taking into your own life. But that's why the Lord was nailing these down, because he knew the tsunami was going to hit these disciples called his leaving and the cross. And I trust and pray that you'd keep yourself doing what's right. And I need this reinforced in my own life. It is not those deep waters that are going to come in your life, my friend, are not meant to drown you. They're meant to cleanse you and be used.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.